This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Hawkeye Steel at the intersection of Route 138 and I-55 in White City, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Crop insurance has become an important piece of the puzzle for today's farms. So why not let the professionals at Farm Credit Services of Illinois show you how crop insurance can be a good fit for your operation? Learn the ins and outs about today's coverage plans, acceptable replant options, and preventative planning guidelines. Plus the latest information on changes to the federal crop insurance program. You get up-to-date information on your policy coverage, delivered by professionals who know farming and the benefits crop insurance can provide. There's a lot to know about crop insurance, and Farm Credit delivers the best value for your premium dollar. For information on crop insurance coverage for your farm, call us today at 800-444-FARM. That's 800-444-F-A-R-M. Crop insurance through Farm Credit of Illinois. It's a good fit.
Need steel for a future project or repair? Hawkeye Steel carries a wide variety of carbon steel products like angles, channels, tubing, and more. Everything for a metal building is in stock, like panels, beams, and screws. Metal panels and common links are in stock, while custom links in a variety of colors can be ordered. Visit them at the intersection of Illinois 138 and I-55 in White City, or call 866-999-7880. Hawkeye Steel. Build it to last. Build it with steel.
First of all, on the Farm Show on this Thursday, an electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade. March wheat now trading at 782 and a half, down 2.5. May wheat trading at 790 and 3/4, down 3. March corn trading at 729 and a quarter, down 2. May corn trading at 729, down 2.25. March soybeans now trading at 1430 and a half, down 6. May beans trading at 14.15 and a half, down 5.75. The overnight crude oil market, 28 cents higher at 94.52. The Brent crude, 36 cents higher at 110.04. The February gold contract, $1.60 lower at $1,681.60. The U.S. dollar index, 0.164 lower at 79.64. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, March wheat ended at 785. That was up 2.25. May wheat ended at 793 and 3/4, up 2.75. July wheat ended at 797 and a quarter, up 3. March corn yesterday ended the day at 731 and a quarter, up 3/4. March corn ended at 731 and a quarter, up 0.5. July corn ended at 721 and a quarter, up 0.25. March beans yesterday ended at 1436 and a half, up 23. May beans ended at 1421 and a quarter, up 21 and a half. July beans ended at 1412 and 3/4, up 20 cents. March soybean meal yesterday ended at 41910, up 72. May meal ended at 41320, up 65. July meal 40860, up 60. March soybean oil yesterday ended at 51.31, up 44. May oil ended at 51.67, up 45. July oil ended at 51.91, up 43. March oats yesterday ended at 357 and a quarter, up 3/4. May oats ended at 362 and 3/4, up 0.5. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended higher on Wednesday afternoon, with soybean futures sharply higher. Stronger soybean product values, especially soybean meal, and the dry forecast for the South American soybean crop helped to push soybean prices higher. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly steady to as much as a penny higher at 7.15 to 7.36, and soybeans advanced 17 to 20 cents at 14.26 to 14.46. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 3 cents higher at 7.24 to 7.42, and soybeans gained 19 to 25 cents at 14.35 to 14.55. I'm sorry, range from 14.38 to 14.30. 14.38 to 14.55. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were steady to a penny higher at 7.15 to 7.56. Soybeans gained 18 to 23 cents at 14.54 to 14.77. And wheat bids up 4 to 5 cents at 7.78 to 7.93. And the Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids gained 23 cents on Wednesday to range from 14.71 to 14.76. Basis ended steady at 35 to 40 over the March. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis gained $7.20 a ton on Wednesday, ranging from 435.10 to 439.10. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids ended mixed, ranging from 739 to 755, with basis steady to 2 cents lower at 8 to 24 over the March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quartered producer corn bids a penny higher at 733 to 734, while basis ended steady, ranged from 2 to 3 over the March. Soybean bids up 20 to 24 at 1477 to 1484, with basis ending mixed, range from 41 to 48 over the March. And wheat bids for new crop delivery for the July 13 delivery ended 3 cents higher on Wednesday at 757 to 772, and the basis steady at 40 to 25 under July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids steady to a penny higher at 731 to 733. These same elevators raised their soybean pricing by 18 to 23 cents with quotations at 1491 to 1497. Soft wheat up 2 cents at 799 to $8, and the Milo ended steady at 715 to 716. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers for new crop corn range from 547 to 564. New crop soybean bids at 1247 to 1262. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 552 up to 568. New crop soybean bids at 1253 to 1272. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from 551 to 576. New crop beans, 1259 to 1277. And the new crop wheat for July 13 delivery in southern Illinois, it ranged from 755 up to 767. That is our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. February hogs ended at 85.15, down a dime. April hogs ended at 87.42, down 17. May hogs ended at 94.70, down a dime. February cattle yesterday ended at 128.52, down $1.90. April cattle ended at 132.70, down 172. June cattle ended at 127.87, down 147. January feeder cattle yesterday ended at 147.07, down $1.25. March feeders ended at 148.22, down 215. April feeders ended at 150.25, down 205. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis were 62 cents lower. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in the range of 78 to 80, with the weighted average carcass price of 78.52. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded steady, and U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 38 to 42, and 4 to 5 weights were 40 to 43. 5 weight and up were trading for 45 to 47. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points traded steady, ranging from 51 to 56. Receipts for Illinois hogs totaled 10,328 head. From the United Producers Auction at Shelbyville, they had receipts of 470 head, and compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded $2 to $2.50 lower, slaughter Holsteins traded $4 lower in a light test, and slaughter cows and bulls were mostly steady. Feeder cattle traded mostly $2 to $4 lower. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they brought $125 to $129.25, choice slaughter Holstein steers $111 to $114, and choice slaughter heifers $123 to $129.25. Slaughter cows, starting with the breakers, $84 to $84.50. Boners were $80 to $84.50. and leans were 68-73. Feeder steers, medium and large, number ones, 550 to 700 pounds, brought 138 to 142, the 7 to 750 weights, at 122 to 125. Feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 4 to 5 weights, 142 to 146, and the 5 to 6 weights at 138 to 143. They had some 6-7 weights, 125 to 136. Now at the Fairview sale barn at Fairview, they had receipts of 434 head. Slaughter steers and heifers sold steady, and slaughter cows and bulls were also steady. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they brought 125 to 130.25. Choice slaughter Holsteins, 105.75 to 116.50. Choice slaughter heifers, 124.50 to 129.75. And slaughter cows, starting with the breakers, 70 to 75. The boners, 60 to 65. And they had a few leans at 52.25. Slaughter bulls, grade 1, bringing 82.50 to 85. Now on to the special feeder sale, feeder cattle sale at Walnut. They had receipts of 921 head, and most of the feeder cattle offered had received one or two rounds of shots and had been a long time weaned. Starting with the feeder steers, medium and large 1 and 2s, 450 to 500. They brought $172, and that was value added, 6 to 650. 152 value added, 650 to 700, 153.50 value added. Feeder heifers, medium and large, 1 and 2s, 4 to 500 weight, brought 143 to 152, and the value added at 172. 550 to 650, 150 to 164 value added. Moving on from the National Carlot Pork Report, trading was slow to moderate with 100 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $84.25, which is 49 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $193.83, which was 37 cents higher, with select carcasses at $186.20, which was $1.28 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, for Wednesday cattle slaughter, was estimated at 124,000 compared to 123,000 last week and 122,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 428,000 compared to 428,000 last week and 422,000 one year ago. The opening report for the Greenville cattle auction compared to last week, steers and heifers were 250 lower. Slaughter steers choice 2s and 3s sold for 123 to 127. Select sold for 118 to 122.50. Slaughter Holstein steers untested early. And slaughter heifers, choices 2 and 3s, 123 to 124 with selects 120 to 122. That concludes our livestock report. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday: for butter, 149, up a quarter; for block cheese, 170, down 1; for barrel cheese, 166.5, down 3/4. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending Wednesday, 1807. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, 737; for February, 726. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, 729; for February, 726. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, 1471; and for February, 1454. And wheat delivered to Scottville, 764. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices once again: corn at Greenfield, 737. Corn at Scottville, 729. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, 1471. Wheat at Scottville, 764. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Thursday morning. Right now it's time for a check of Color Radar weather. Color Radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of Color Radar weather brought to you by Carlinville Truck Equipment. and by the M&M Service Company.
Hi, I'm Kristen Treese with M&M Service Company. Up until recently, the words convenient and financing didn't mix, but the FS AgriFinance program has changed that. FS AgriFinance enables you to secure financing through M&M Service Company for all your farming input needs. So not only do you save time, but your production needs and financial plans are all handled by people who understand your business the way you do. Ask about FS AgriFinance from M&M Service Company today. It's custom financing at your convenience.
Whether you're in municipality, business, or individual, Carlinville Truck Equipment has the Henderson Dump Body, Snowway Plow, or Salt Spreader to fit your needs. Carlinville Truck Equipment has its equipment ready for immediate delivery. Plus, as always, Carlinville Truck still has you covered for all your truck equipment services. Your repair needs, farm bodies, hoist, van bodies, lift gates, service bodies, or any other truck equipment you might need. Call them at 854-6706 or see them on the web at ctemi.com.
Sunny skies across mid-Illinois today. High temperatures in the mid-30s. We will have northwest winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures in the mid-20s, and for tomorrow, Friday, sunny skies, the high in the upper 40s. Your extended forecast for Saturday through Monday, partly cloudy to cloudy and turning colder. Low temperatures falling to about 5 above by Monday. High temperatures in the mid-teens. Right now at the Weather Center, we have north winds at 8 miles per hour, the barometric pressure rising. Partly cloudy skies, 32 degrees on this Thursday morning. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Envirofoam of America, by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn, and by the CHS Service Center of Louder. Wednesday morning, we talked to State Representative Wayne Rosenthal. He hosted a town hall meeting Tuesday night at the Farm Bureau building in Taylorville in order to allow residents to address their concerns about a proposed electric line to be built by Ameren from Palmyra, Missouri to Terre Haute, Indiana. The proposed line would cut across the listening area from Pawnee to Pena and on to the Mount Zion area. Residents were concerned about the use of their property, including farmland along the route, and compensation. Representative Rosenthal said the meeting went well.
Ameren's Illinois River project is going to go from Missouri across Illinois to Indiana with a new power line. And, you know, they got several, they got a primary route and an alternate route, and they filed a petition in November with the ICC. And I think the final ruling will be made sometime in April, but this is the time frame for local individuals and people to provide their input. And I know that the Farm Bureau has been actively involved, and their concern is the compensation once Ameren chooses a route and dealing with the local landowners. In this case, you know, there's proposals that, you know, maybe there's a better alternate route, and the concern of the people themselves on where the poles are going to be located and the concern of the property lines and everything else. So it's an opportunity for me to collect information and then go to ICC and at least have an input into hopefully some of their decision making.
Are you on the committee that oversees the ICC in the legislature?
No, I'm not.
Okay. The route they're planning on taking, does it follow, is it more of a straight route, or does it follow like roads and highways and that sort of thing?
No, it kind of goes around in different directions, and you know, of course, one of the big interested areas was Pena because they're going to have a substation there. And like I told them last night, regardless of where the routes are going to be, whenever you got a substation, they're going to be pretty close to you coming through there someplace. And so they're going to put a new substation in the around Pena, and then the lines run from there. But you know, because there's other considerations. One of the things that they talked about is if they're going to put new infrastructure in, that they'd like to see some of the old infrastructure and the old power lines that go across some of their property. In a lot of cases, they're parallel to where they're already existing lines. And so they'd like to see those eventually come down if they're going to be no longer in use, and this is an upgrade to the infrastructure. So they just want to make sure that, you know, they're heard and they got a voice. And, you know, there were several people there that were concerned about how close to their households and their residences these lines would come, and where they're going to go across on the property, and which actual routes they're going to take. So that was the concern of people. And you know, it's a process that, you know, you have to understand that, that the farmland is some of our greatest assets and resources. And once they put those power lines in, they're there for generations. So we just want to make sure that, that maybe we do it the best possible way and means possible up front. And the way to do that is get the voice of the people and let their concerns be heard.
Are the routes they're planning to take, does it go like right through the middle of farm fields?
Oh, yeah. It just depends on where they're at. Some of them go down along the edge of the field. Some of them go just catty corner across, you know, angle across them. Most of the time they run north-south or east-west, depending on where they're at. But they, and they got alternate routes because they got a primary route and an alternate route. And it depends on which one they choose. And the other side of it is that Ameren won't talk to any of the landowners until they determine which route they're going to be taking. So there's some concern there with the, like I said, the local people. So, you know, we're listening to them and trying to represent them as best we can.
Is one of their concerns the compensation they may receive from Ameren for the use of their property?
Well, one of them is the concern because way back when you talk to the people that have currently have easements across their property, there's things that were never conceived or thought about way back when. And, you know, one of them is if you give a right-of-way for one thing, does that give them a right-of-way for something else? Can you put water lines across underneath them? You know, aerial spraying is big now, but when they put those fire lines in 60, 70 years ago, it wasn't even thought about. So, you know, and that's one of the things the lawyer talked about is that you need to think of farther ahead and also the strength in having groups and having legal representation. And that's what they all recommended is if you do get to the compensation phase, make sure that you have legal representation so that you consider as many things as possible. The other thing is, you know, with our coal and oil and gas rights here, if you happen to have an easement that you've already granted for those, you need to make sure that, that the easement for the power lines is aware of that because it, you can't grant two easements and they need to be able to negotiate with the owner of the first easement and for the coal and rights and everything before they get the second one. So it's a it gets to be a pretty technical and legal issue.
It sounds like it could get really complicated with some landowners with the easements they already have.
Sure. And, you know, like one guy said last night, he said they've already looked at mine and I got 8 foot of coal seam underneath me and that's worth a lot of money if they take out and run a power line across that and then they're not available to mine that underneath me.
Well, that well, like you said a moment ago, if they are approached about this, a landowner would be wise to get legal counsel.
Yes, because there's just a lot of things that most farmers are not aware of, and because that's not the thing they do. You know, they're into raising crops, and they do a great job of it. And so the legal profession needs to be involved and get their advice because that's what they do.
And that was State Representative Wayne Rosenthal. Members of the American Farm Bureau's Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee elected a new leader for 2013. In this report, the American Farm Bureau Federation's Jonna Miller introduces you to Nebraska young farmer Zach Honeycutt.
Zach Honeycutt farms in south central Nebraska with his dad and brother, where they raise corn, popcorn, soybeans, and some seed corn. Zach has a new responsibility for 2013, though, to lead the Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee for the nation's largest farm organization.
I see us as the now and future leaders. We're kind of a training ground for leadership.
This fifth-generation farmer says he's establishing goals for the group.
I'd like to see us spearhead some of the consumer engagement, get out there and talk to people about raising food and fiber and fuel for them. We got a lot of young moms and dads that can relate to other parents.
Zach already has a lot of experience reaching out to consumers.
I've been on Twitter and Facebook for several years, partly because I enjoy that kind of thing. I'm kind of a techie, so I try to join on those things. But I really like telling people about farming, about agriculture, and answering questions or fielding concerns. When you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, the whole world is your audience. We can connect with anybody anywhere about what we're doing and share our passion about agriculture.
Zach says he wants to encourage American Farm Bureau's young farmers and ranchers to get involved in policy discussions. The importance of that was made clear to him when he testified before the House Agriculture Committee last year during hearings on the Farm Bill.
They've specifically wanted a viewpoint of a young farmer and rancher, since the policies that they're developing are going to affect me a lot longer than the people who are forming it. We can step up and provide that voice because we have the experience out in the field. We know how these things are going to affect us.
Reporting from the American Farm Bureau's annual meeting in Nashville, I'm Jonna Miller.
Heavy rain over the weekend were a difference maker for Mississippi River shippers. That, according to Midwest Grain and Barge Vice President and General Manager Matt Zimmerman. He says the rain was widespread and delivered more moisture than expected. As such, water levels near Cape Girardeau were on the rise. In addition to the rain, the Army Corps of Engineers finished the first phase of the rock removal project at Thebes earlier than expected. The Corps removed 365 cubic yards of limestone from the channel, deepening the navigable area by 2 feet. Commander of the Army Corps Mississippi Valley Division, Major General John Peabody, says the success of the rock removal work, along with the recent and forecast rain, increases confidence an adequate channel can be sustained through the spring. According to the National Weather Service, the water level of the river at St. Louis today will be up nearly 2 feet from last Wednesday. That will equal the highest level in almost a month. At Thebes, the water level had jumped nearly 9 feet over the weekend. During the American Farm Bureau Federation's 94th annual meeting, voting delegates expressed support for a bipartisan, reform-minded farm bill crafted around a broad, flexible crop insurance-based program that includes risk management protection for peanuts, rice, forage, and specialty crops. Farm Bureau President Bob Stallman says the group will push hard for a 5-year farm bill that provides certainty for farmers and extends much-needed risk management tools across more acres and more crops. Farm Bureau delegates said they will also work for programs that provide emergency assistance for livestock and tree producers not covered by federal crop insurance programs. In addition, delegates reaffirm policy supporting changes to the dairy safety net consistent with the margin insurance programs included in the Farm Bill versions approved by the House and Senate Ag Committees. Once again, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 7.82¾, down 2¼. May wheat trading at 7.90¾, down 3. March corn now trading at 7.28¾, down 2½. May corn trading at 7.28½, down 2¾. March soybeans trading at 14.30¼, down 6¼. May beans trading at 14.15. Down 6¼. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the CHS Service Center of Louder, by Envirofoam of America, and by Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, and Auburn.